interesting little story, that one, isn't it? It's quite a challenge. It makes you ask all sorts of things about the meaning, doesn't it? Just for a moment, though, just want us to start with thinking about where we get our stories from and the role of them. And just for a little bit of fun at the beginning to get us going, I just wonder if you can recognise these superheroes, really, that maybe our children's and grandchildren's stories are based on. How about this guy? Got him? Anybody know? No? Harry Potter. Of course it is. Or what about this guy? Superman. And ladies, who are these? I just call them super women. Aren't all women super? And all men, of course. And especially for people more like my generation, what about this one? I was never quite sure whether PC Plod was the hero or whether Noddy was the hero. I think it depended whether you'd got a little bit of a naughty streak in you, didn't it? Whether. But where do our stories come from? You know, the stories that most of us know and that are passed on to our children. Well, of course, they come from books, television, films. In the past, before we had the written word, from storytellers, didn't they? And these days, a lot of our stories for our youngsters come from the computer games. You know this one? Or have you not played it with any grandchildren? Super Mario. It was the first, one of the first games we had in our house, and it's come back in. So that's quite good fun. I found, thinking about how where our stories come from and how we use them, when I was looking through for some pictures to help with the story today, I found a picture of Superman, you know, the second one that we saw. But it was an extraordinary picture because it had Superman in a Christ-like pose. He was rising as if he'd risen from the cross. You know how you see the pictures sometimes? And around him, as he rose into the sky, were doves of peace. It was extraordinary. It really reminded me that actually a lot of our stories, which are the great classic kind of stories, are this battle of good and ill, aren't they? And which one is going to come out on top. And so many of our stories have some kind of Bible sort of reference in them, or the ideas come from it. So to look at this story that we have today, the story of the rich and the poor man. Sometimes he's known, the rich man is known as Dives. Have you heard the name Dives and Lazarus? Yeah, well, Dives just means rich man. And Lazarus is not the Lazarus that Jesus rose from the dead. This is another Lazarus. And here's I suppose we could call it an old cartoon of part of the story of Dives and Lazarus. Can you see there on your left, there's the rich folks having a good time, yes? Yeah, they've got plenty to eat. They've got servants looking after them. They're dressed very beautifully. But look who's on this side, on the floor, really. What do you think all those marks of him on him are? Did you notice that in the story? They're sores. They're sores. He's so poverty-stricken and had so not been able to care for himself probably for so long. And he's starving hungry and he's in pain because of these sores. And the only comfort we're told that he gets in any way is that sometimes the dogs would lick his sores and maybe just ease them a little bit. It's not a great comfort, that, is it? So why do you think, and of course this story goes on, there should be another bit of the cartoon, but I couldn't find it, about what happens after this earthly life. And we'll come on to that in a moment. So why do we have this story in our Bible? What does it tell us? Well, it tells us that this rich man has made his choices, hasn't he? His choices about how he lives. And perhaps more important, he's made his choices about how he relates to others, to other people. And it's those choices that have put him out of reach of help when he needs it, be it in this world or the next, as in the story. His choices have been other than to be part of the shared humanity that God has created for us to be in his image. The rich man is unaware of the reality as he's eating and drinking here. And have you got this picture? You get the gist of it, don't you? A more modern one. Here's someone, fine and mighty, sitting high above, having what he wants to eat, doing very well in life, everything's okay. But look at the number of people in this drawing, lifting their empty bowls up, very small, often thought of as not important by the folks who had the money and have the power in society. You see, this guy, this rich man, Dives, if you want to call him that, has taken his choice, and his choice hurts others, but it also hurts him as well. You see, if you remember, he couldn't be helped by anyone, even by godly people. He sees, as it were, Father Abraham. They call him the father of the Jewish faith, and that's how he would have seen him. They couldn't even reach out to him and help him. No, he'd made sad choices with sad consequences, hadn't he? And he only began to realize too late that his choice and his action had left him separated from God's way of being fully human, as I say, our shared humanity. I suppose if I were to ask any of us to say, what does poverty look like? We might go back to something like the Dickensian pictures and drawings. You know, somebody in tatters, you know, not very well dressed, looking quite different and noticeably different from society. But it isn't really quite like that now, is it, in our country? It's very easy not to notice the poverty that is around us. Perhaps in part it's due to one of our other things where we don't perhaps deal very well with is the overproduction of clothes. And so we have clothing that's very, very cheap and is in the throwaway culture with it, but at least it gives people clothes to wear. So in our country, we're all looking much more similar. We maybe don't notice the poverty. And why? Why don't we notice it? Because we are all similar. Who's here? Which one is the poor person? Which one is the rich person? Don't know, do we? God calls us to a common and shared humanity, Christ-like living. Talking how we treat and view other people, one of the low points, I think, of our country was in the fight to abolish slavery. And some of you may be able to quote chapter and verse better than I can. but a owner of a slave ship who'd been taken to court on the grounds that what he was doing to people was inhumane. And you know, you don't need me to remind you, the horror of the slave ships. But a court ruled with the owner of the slave ship, and he ruled that the black African people that he was transporting were not fully human. Were not fully human. A court ruling. It's very sad, isn't it? But you know, it's easy, isn't it, to kind of subconsciously fall into that, even around poverty and how we use our resources, that people having difficulties are other somehow than ourselves. No, I say again, we're all called to live out our common humanity. And poverty does not remove people from our common humanity. So, what can we do? What does this story tell us? Well, one thing that I take from it is to be mindful of excesses. Be mindful how I use the resources that I have. Do you recognise who this is? Yeah, different age group from last night. Not a soul. Not a soul. Who's that woman? Audrey Hepburn. And any idea what she's offering her guests? We'd call them cookies, wouldn't we, I think, today, biscuits. But there's something on them. You'd never guess in a million Sundays. Diamonds. Diamonds. In and on the cookies to her guests. I just say, let's be mindful of how we use the resources and the money that we have and not waste it on things that does nobody any good at all. But I think also in this story, we can't but take it a step further and think about it politically and socially as well. And I'm talking about P in the small sense of how it affects people. It's your choice where you place your vote and use your options there. Have you seen a picture of housing like this one? Have we? Do you know what can? Do you know what you can see on there? This side on the left is a slum, shanty town. Yes, something like. Did you see it, Slumdog Millionaire? I mean, it was a brilliant film, wasn't it? I mean, it was a very, very good film. But on that side, you've got the... I don't like the word slums, the shanty town there. And on that side, you've got not rich housing, but people much richer by far than the people living in the shanty towns. Just look at how much space they have. Each little bit of roof over one of those little shelters that have been put together will probably have as many as 8 or 10 people living in them. Look at the difference in what they've got compared to the folks on the other side and the resources that they have. Great film, Slumdog Millionaire, but I ask us ourselves, is it all right that we tolerate and we get used to the fact that life is like that for some? Or here's another and my last example. Does anybody know where this is? Some of you may have been privileged. Pardon? Dubai. Yes, it's Dubai. And do you know what it is there? It's you have to call it one island because it's all connected. But if you see it from the air, it's made to be like a palm tree. If you start on the horizon and see the land coming out, that's the trunk. And these curved bits are the branches. It's extraordinary, isn't it, that humanity can build an island like that. It's brilliantly clever. But on the same landmass, not so far away, us brilliantly clever human beings have enabled a situation like the Yemen. I have to tell you, when I was looking up pictures for this, the pictures of what's going on in Yemen actually choked me. And isn't that self-indulgent, that I can be upset by something I see and don't do anything about? But we can only do what comes our way to do, can't we? But the poverty and the hunger is absolutely dreadful. If you want to see what it's like, just Google it. Just go on and look for poverty in Yemen. Not so clever, is it? Dubai, brilliantly clever, wonderful human beings, aren't we? Here in the Yemen, not so very far away. Not so clever, eh? Conclusion. We're all called by God to be fully human, wherever we live, however much of life's resources we are fortunate to have. We are invited by God, by Jesus Christ's example, to share our common humanity, to give love and to receive, to give with love and to receive with love. There's a need for the whole of humanity. The giving and exchanging is part of the picture that God has for us. You know, it was a sermon like this, similar to this, much better than mine, but that made me become a Christian, because it gave me a picture as a teenager of a different way of living, of sharing our common humanity, of not just going for it one for all, you know, just going for it all for myself. Dives took his choice, the rich man, and that took him out of that option. He was isolated. So the story of Dives and Lazarus, a tragic story really, isn't it, of broken humanity. Perhaps we can make our choices in life a little bit more informed by thinking of this story. May God bless us and help us as we make our daily choices. Amen.